Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Streetwise Athlone.
In this series, we learn about the old and recent history of the streets of Athlone, hear the thoughts and memories of locals and tourists, and the changes we might see in the future.
Episode 32, Ballymahon Road.
Historian Garrod O'Brien tells us about the history of the area.
The Ballymahon Road is the entry point to Athlone from the northeast. We have already dealt with Cornemaugh, so we will pick up with the extensive offices of the Department of Education and Skills, including the examinations branch at Cornemaddy, which represents a great example of the success of the decentralisation of government. Many civil servants working in Dublin chose to relocate to Athlone to work in this department, and workers commute to Athlone daily from the Midlands and West to work here. For many years, Athlone Rugby Club had its headquarters on the Ballymahon Road, where their pitch was called Keane Park, in honour of Dr. Jim Keane, who played a pivotal role in Irish rugby and was president of the IRFU at the time of his death in 1975. Throughout the 1970s, Athlone Rugby Club was one of the main dancing venues in Athlone, where crowds flocked to hear popular local DJ Michael Silk. In the early 1990s, Athlone and Ballinasloe rugby clubs joined forces to become Buccaneers RFC. Today, their home pitch in Athlone is called Dubarry Park, and their popular clubhouse venue is known as the Bounty. In more recent years, since the Fair Green is no longer used as a pitch for circus tents or for carnivals and fun fairs, the site of the old rugby club is one of the places which has proved very popular for these entertainments. For over 60 years, Páirc Chiaráin has been the home of Athlone GAA Club, which was founded in 1885. The Athlone footballers have a long and honourable tradition, which includes taking the county championship six times in a row from 1955 to 1960. Apart from the footballers, Páirc Chiaráin is also the home of the very successful Southern Gaels Hurling Club and Athlone Tennis Club. The Ballymahon Road boasted a number of fine private residences in the past, including New Court, which was built by William Potts in the 1860s and occupied by his family for over 50 years. Since the 1940s, the house has been owned by the late Bert Heaton, the founder of Heaton Stores, and his family continue to live there today. The Moorings, almost opposite New Court, was the home of the novelist John Broderick, until he departed Athlone to live in Bath in 1981. The name The Moorings was put on the house when it was built by James Caulfield, a naval officer in the 1820s. In the 1920s, it was owned by the Hootmeyres family, who ran it as a private hotel. The next owner was Michael Kilkelly, an Athlone pawnbroker and merchant, and the choirmaster in St. Peter's Parish, who was a great source of encouragement to the young John McCormack. It was his family who sold the house to the Brodericks in the early 1960s. Old Court House, also known as Springfield, was another Potts estate. It was the home of John Potts from 1716, and from the mid-19th century, it had a variety of tenants. In the 1890s, it was occupied by John Burgess of Burgess Department Stores. It was later occupied by the McGann family. William McGann writes about the family's time in this house in his memoir, An Irish Boyhood. And from the early 1920s until 1940, it was the home of the Milligan family, who ran a drapery shop in Church Street. After the disastrous Athlone Woolen Mill fire of 1940, Roslevin School, a Protestant girls' boarding school, which had been located in Northgate Street and which was demolished as a result of the fire, needed a new home and moved to Old Court, changing the name to Roslevin. The school closed in the early 1960s and the house was demolished in the early 80s to make way for the new telephone exchange and the Roslevin Lawn housing estate. Another point of interest on the Ballymahon Road is the Moorings Railway Level Crossing, locally known as the White Gates. When I was a child coming and going from school, we were often stopped here as the gates were closed to allow trains to go through. the railway line provided an alternative rail link to Dublin via Moat and Mullingar. This line closed in 1987, but today the gates give access to the Greenway, the old rail trail, joining Athlone to the county town of Mullingar, and is very popular with walkers and cyclists alike.
Simi tells us about living in Lissy Wollin's accommodation centre and her journey towards Irish citizenship.
I came in Ireland in 2010, and then when I came in, I came as a refugee. And then when I arrived in Dublin, I was told you have to go to Athlone. I had no idea where is Athlone, what Athlone looked like. And as we came in, we came by bus, and then I saw this green board with written sign Ballymahon. I couldn't even pronounce it by then. And then we were taken to Lissy Wollin. I came with my two daughters for 5 years in Lissy Wollin, and it became a home, if I can put it that way, coming here as a refugee and being welcomed and taken care of, and just to have peace of mind that at least we're safe, me and my two girls. I was very happy. If my memory serves me right, I think we are more than maybe 20-something nationalities from different countries. So even the way they were cooking food, you could imagine it was very difficult for the cateries to cater for everyone. We're very lucky because we come from an English-speaking country. It was very difficult to interact with other people from other nationalities, other cultures. And even if you go into the laundry or to integrate or socialize, it was really, really difficult. When Athlone Community Radio Station came in, they did a lot of activities and they tried to get as many volunteers and then going to radio station just to share different cultures, making different food. It became, it was amazing, yeah. It was very nice then. Living there 5 years in a mobile home with the two girls, it wasn't really easy. In a confined place. And then when we got our status, we're told now you can go and stay outside like every other person, Irish. We were very, very happy. And we found ourselves, we got a place in Acadia. And really, it's a peace of mind. It's completely different. Although Lissy Wollin, I still call it home. Because that's where I started, I came. And my kids, I remember the first one, she came when she was 14. She attended school, she had friends, although it was very difficult for outside friends to come to Lissy Wollin. And now I could say they are very happy because they can invite their friends to come to this house, to our home now. And coming to their new home, there were a lot of challenges, of course. And we couldn't light fire, and the type of stuff which is available in Ireland is completely different from what we have in Africa, like the turf. I didn't know what turf is, and the briquettes and the fire lighters. We just used to matches and the firewood. Of course, there's firewood, but it was a challenge. I had to call a friend all the time. I remember first day when she helped us how to make fire. It was really amazing. But now I'm an expert. I'm very good now. I can light it any time. Yeah. But we're home, we're safe now, and very warm. And thank you to the Irish people and Irish government, to the whole community here in Athlone. I think they are all wonderful people to us. They've been very good.
Streetwise Athlone. Historical research and presentation by Garrod O'Brien. Additional research by Damien McKellen. Interviews by Amanda Gunning, Ursula Ledwith, Mel Ray, and Erica Follows-Smith. Editing by Kyle McKellen. Produced by Amanda Gunning. The additional contributor to this episode was Simina Dlobu. Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.